Well, good morning, and thank you for coming this morning. I am very happy to be here in Chicago. It's my second time here. I came in 2016, and this is a great opportunity for me to say thanks to all the people that support the relation between Cuba and the United States. I really believe that's very important, you know, and that's the reason I am here. We believe in relations between Cuba and the United States with goodwill and respect. It's the only thing that we need. For more than 50 years, it has been impossible, you know, to sit down, to talk, to work together. And I really believe we can do it. And I really believe it's good for both sides, not only for Cuba, you know, it's also good for the United States. There is a lot of opportunities, academic interchange, cultural interchange, a sport interchange. I know you have a couple of Cuban players here in Chicago. Yeah, and you can have more. But the idea is we need relations with goodwill and respect. I know that here there are friends for many years, solidarity for many years with my country. I want to say thank you on behalf of my people, because that has been very important. I really believe that right now, according to all, and let me say this, you know, Cubans are famous for long speeches, but don't worry. I know that there is a wedding in a few hours, and so I'm going to be brief. I'm not going to break any record today. Okay, but the idea is that according to all the American polls, the majority of the American people wants better relations between Cuba and the United States. So it's not a minority anymore. Thank you. But also we can say today that according, for example, to Florida International University, the majority of the Cuban Americans also wants better relation between Cuba and the United States. And it's what almost all the countries in the world want. You saw probably the support of the international community to President Obama when he opened the door to Cuba. And that's also very important, you know. For that reason, I always ask the same question. If the majority of the American people wants better relations, if the majority of the Cuban Americans want better relations, if almost every country in the world wants better relations between Cuba and the United States, why the embargo is still in place? Why we are not able to have better relations? What happened? What happened in 2015 and since that moment that we reestablished diplomatic relations? Nothing bad. We accomplished a lot of things. Now you can see that we have the flights between Cuba and the United States. We have American, United, JetBlue, Delta. That's important, because every place I visit, I always start with one question. What do you know about Cuba? There is a lot of misinformation about my country, and there is not enough information about my country. When you go and you ask, what do you know? Now I know this is the Windy City, you know? When you ask to the people here, what do you know about Cuba? You know, people say, okay, Cuba is famous because cigars, rum, you know, the old cars. But you say, what do you know? What do you really know about Cuba? Well, people remember Bay of Pigs, the missile crisis, and they say, that is back in the 60s. What do you know now? I remember one student, I always use this because it's funny, but it's true. One student in American University in D.C. that told me, I know about Cuba. And I say, what do you know? And he say, I know I love Lucy. Do you remember the TV series back? And he say, wow, you missed the last 50 years, but Cuba is not Ricky Ricardo. The good part is he didn't mention Scarface, because Cuba is not Tony Montana either. You know, but unfortunately, that is the, you know, what you read here about Cuba is always bad. So I don't want you to believe me. I want you to go to Cuba. That is my advice. Go to Cuba and see Cuba for yourself. Cuba is not a perfect country. And yes, Cubans always want to improve many things. But Cuba is a country that is a friendly country, it's a safe country, it's proud of many things, And just to put one example of what we accomplished in the last 2 years since to President Obama, I don't know if you are aware that we bring Cuban doctors to Chicago. We bring Cuban doctors sent to the University of Illinois in Chicago and the authorities in the city. We bring Cuban doctors because they ask our cooperation, because there are areas in Chicago with a high infant mortality, rate, and also with problem with cancer. And Cuba is very well known for our health system. We have doctors in more than 60 countries right now, and our numbers are very good. Our life expectancy is 80 years old. Our infant mortality is 4 childs per 1,000 live birth. Those are numbers that we are proud. And for that reason, we believe that it's important, and I don't come here today to see, again to say that we are perfect or we are better than you. No. I come here to say that we can work together, and we need to learn from each other, and that is important. We face similar challenge, and if we work together, that is going to be more easy, you know. And another thing that probably you don't know is that we see the support in many places. Right now, there are some cities that approve resolutions in support of the relation between Cuba and the United States. We have Helena, Montana, that approved a resolution. I say, well, Helena, Montana, well, I was there working with people, talking with people. They don't have a big Cuban population. You know that according to the U.S. Census, you have Cuban Americans in all the 50 states. We have 2 million of Cuban Americans here in the United States, more than 1 million live in Florida, but we have like 348 in Alaska. I don't know what they do there because the weather is so different, but we have Cuban Americans everywhere. And we are proud of that, you know, and we really believe it's a good opportunity to work also together. In the last year, 13,000 Cuban Americans returned to live in Cuba. That is a number that probably you don't read in the media. For that reason, this is very important. And again, my best advice is go to Cuba. See Cuba. And you're going to see it's a very friendly and safe country. If you go and you say, I'm from Chicago, everybody's going to ask you about the Cubs, about the White Sox. That's great. When I went to Montana, I said, you don't have a baseball team here. If you go, they don't know what to talk about. But they will talk about many things, you know, cultural. And for that reason, every place I visit, I say thanks for the support, thanks for the friendship. We need that. We need that. We don't want to wait another 50 years. We don't want to have new excuses to not have normal relations. And I don't believe the problem is because Cuba is a communist country, because the United States has relations with communist countries. How many soldiers do you lose in Vietnam? 58,000. But you have relation with Vietnam. Why not with Cuba? Oh, because Cuba only has one political party. You have relation with countries that don't allow political parties. And Cuba is not a threat for the United States. I can say that to you. People say, okay, the missile crisis, that was 60 years ago. You know, we need to put that back and we need to move forward. And we can have a better future, but only if we start today working. So I have to fulfill my promise and to be brief. I don't know if somebody have a question. I would like to, if anybody have a question, but thank you so much for coming this morning. It's a pleasure for me to be with all of you. Thank you. Thank you.
To the Cuban people.
Thank you so much. You know, I know that, again, the majority of the people here don't support the embargo, the blockade anymore. But I know that some people that support the blockade say that this is because they want to help the human rights in Cuba. And I say the blockade is the main violation of the human rights of the Cuban people, because it's hurting children, it's hurting women, it's hurting the elders, everybody in Cuba. And has not helped Cuba. You know, Cuba buys $2 billion in food every year. You know how much cost the blockade to Cuba? $4 billion every year. So without the blockade, we can have enough money to buy the food that we need and also money to improve many things in our country. The blockade is an economic war, and for that reason, nobody supports the blockade. In the United Nations General Assembly, you have 193 countries. Every year, Cuba presents a resolution asking to the United States to lift the embargo. Last year, 191 countries support that resolution. So the whole world is asking to the United States to lift the embargo. And this is not because solidarity with Cuba. Some of those countries are suffering also the embargo because they cannot do business with my country. So thank you so much for that. Please. Well, you know, in 1959, after the revolution, only two countries keep the relation with my country. One was Mexico, the other one was Canada. The rest of the Western Hemisphere cut the diplomatic relation with my country in the idea to isolate Cuba. Right now, it's not like that. Cuba has diplomatic relations with 191 countries. So we are, and we have more than 100 embassies all around the world and more than 100 embassies in Cuba. But we feel a lot of love for Mexico, and to be honest, for all Latin America, for all the countries that we share history and that. Yes, probably we can have a better opportunity with the new government, but the idea is that we believe in relations between people, you know, and even in the most difficult moment of the relation between the government of Mexico and the government of Cuba, the relation between both people was there and was a wonderful relation. There is a lot of love in my country for Mexico. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Can you, one of the myths that we're constantly told is Cuba is anti-religious. And can you talk a little bit about the diversity of the religions, number of religions that have churches and the practice of religion within Cuba?
Well, yes, it's very interesting. And again, my best advice is go to Cuba and see for yourself. But probably you know that the last three popes has visited Cuba. John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and Francis. I always remember in Spanish, Francisco. And that means that proves the relation that we have with the Catholics. But in Cuba, it's interesting because people believe in many things, you know, and we are a blend. We have African religions in Cuba. We have European religions. I find out recently that we have a few people that is also Mormons. It's a small community, but we respect all that. We believe in the freedom of that. But I like to see Cuba, you know, as a blend. So people have a lot of... they believe, they have faith. And also, I have to say, they have faith in the revolution, in the idea that a better world is possible, but only if you are a good human being. Because this is not about, you know, Cuba is there because of the majority of the people of Cuba support the idea of a better society, of the society with equal opportunities for everybody. So it's not a matter of gender, it's not a matter of race, it's not a matter of how wealthy you are. So it's that, and of course it's about the human people. But I always say that I don't like to believe that Cubans are special. It's about the human being. For that reason, our national hero, Jose Martí, said in the 19th century, homeland is humanity. And he was a person that grew up and was born in a colony from Spain, and he believed that homeland is humanity. So it's like that. So freedom of religion is something that is real in Cuba, and I hope you can go. Thank you.
Sugar was one of your major exports.
Yeah. Of course, yes, and also right now is not efficient anymore. It's more expensive to produce sugar. The prices are not very good. You know, people don't want to eat so much sugar. Diabetes is a real problem. So the problem is, and in 1959, Cuba was only a sugar producer. We don't have anything else. But right now, it's not like that. You know, we produce... Huh? Yes, we have rum, it's true, but we also have good biotech products. We produce vaccines there is a cancer vaccine that is right now in New York, in Roswell Park Institute. And probably soon we are going to have another medicine that is very good for people that suffer from diabetes. We signed an agreement with a company in Texas to bring that product that prevent the amputation of your foot if you suffer from diabetes. And we know that here there's a lot of people because of obesity and all that. And again, Cuba right now try to have a very... So we don't want to only to produce one thing. And again, sugar is not anymore good to produce.
Cuba, there's two currencies.
Yes.
Is there a plan to just have one or continue to have two currencies?
Yes. Our goal, and the government said this a couple of years ago, they want to only have one currency. The problem is that for many years, we had two, and we don't want to create a crisis if we put only one currency. The problem, trying to understand what happened in Cuba is difficult. You know, in 1959, everything was made in USA. So when the embargo was in place, we had to change all that. And of course, our partners at the time was Soviet Union, the communist countries. And so in 1991, when the Soviet Union collapsed, we lost 80% of our trade overnight. People don't understand how we survived. I really believe it was the people of Cuba, the one that was there. And of course, solidarity in the world also. But the idea is that that two currencies was the response for that moment of the crisis. But there is majority of the people of Cuba don't want that anymore. So there is one project to try to have one. But again, you need to do it at the right time with everything, all the things that you can do to avoid crisis, to avoid affecting people in Cuba. But the idea is only to have one currency, the Cuban peso, who has been since the early 20th century our currency. Thank you. So, any other questions? Do you want to talk about baseball? Thank you so much for this. I am happy to be here.